Hi, welcome to Soul Revolution. We believe that you are the change wherever you are. If you like to know more about us, who we are and what we do, find us on Facebook as Soul Revolution. We are so thrilled to share this message with you today.
Having a casual fling or a one-night stand has become far more acceptable. Celebrities seem to thrive on it. And yet, I will still say, sex is good. But even as I make that statement, I must clarify for you really quick what sex is not. Sex is not lust. Lust is in fact the thing that is being sold to us in the guise of sex. And famous writer Joshua Harris writes this: part of the challenge we faced in a lust-filled world is remembering that neither sex nor sexuality is our enemy. Sex is not the problem. Lust is the problem. We need to keep reminding ourselves that our goal is to rescue our sexuality from lust. We need to keep reminding ourselves, dear friends, that our goal is to rescue our sexuality from lust. So it's very important to keep in mind that sex is not selfish. Sex is not conceited. Sex is not self-centered lust. And you know why sex is good? Sex is good because sex was created by God. The Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. He tells the first man and woman, be fruitful and increase in number. And I'm really sure he wasn't teaching them maths over there. He created it. He created it. Sexual desires are good and healthy because sex is life-giving. And God doesn't shy away from sex because he came up with that idea. Science will tell you that there is a whole complicated process that happens in the midst of this act. There is a release of natural chemicals, and few of them are dopamine. Dopamine is responsible for the feel-good factor. It's kind of the chemical that your brain releases when you're really happy. And this helps to produce a healthy attraction between partners. Then there's another chemical called norepinephrine, okay? And what happens with this is this engraves your memory with those moments of intimacy, and it's something that a couple who is married can enjoy. Then you have the chemical called testosterone, which basically gives the drive for sex. And then you have the chemical called oxytocin, which is a natural tranquilizer. It lowers blood pressure, blunting sensitivity and pain and stress. Then you have serotonin, which gives a deep feeling of calmness and satisfaction. And so, like you can see, it's a complicated process. It's not as simple as it's shown everywhere you see it. The experience is more than just physical, and hence it is powerful. And because it is powerful, the context for sex is very important. And the context for having fulfilling sex is within the boundaries of marriage. Why marriage? Because marriage equals commitment that comes from acceptance. Marriage brings about a union between a man and a woman that is not just physical and biological, but emotional, psychological, spiritual, and social. It's no wonder that Mikey was attracted to Keke. But there is a small problem with sex. Though sex is created by God, sin entered the world. And all of us have fallen short in every area of our lives, including the area of sex. And sex that was created for pleasure has now become painful and difficult. As a result, you have the most perverted forms of sex that are sold in the market at a high premium value. Pornography, lust, sex trafficking, commercial sex work, sex toys, promiscuity, unfaithfulness, evolved relationship statuses. And so, the problem really is that sex is twisted and misrepresented. Friends, I want you to know, you and I are sexual beings, and that's normal, that's natural. Like every other part of our body, God has created us, every single detail. And our sexuality is a beautiful part of who God has made us. However, one of the greatest challenges or the risk of us is falling prey to the attraction of this perverted and misrepresented sex in whichever way. Each one of us are weak and have the risk of messing up in this area. Or probably you are here this evening and you've already messed up. Maybe your struggle with Keki is more than just a one-time affair. And it's something you need to deal with. But you really don't have the strength to deal with. You know, there is a common principle that magnet attracts iron, right? Yes? Everyone agree with that? Wherever you go, whatever you do, a magnet will always attract iron. And that's a laid principle in nature. But you know, some of us choose to ignore the possibility of our weaknesses. Okay? And I really feel many of us struggle with it because we tend to go into the position of ignoring our problems. You know what's the problem with that? It's only very evident to everyone else but us. It's only very evident to everyone else but us. So how do I understand sex today in the 21st century? This brings us to our question, to our struggle with the fridge door and the chocolate cake. Yesterday we did a poll and asked the question, as a young person in the 21st century, is it a daily battle to be pure? 89% of the people said yes, 11% said no. So then the question is, how do I remain pure when everything around me focuses, forces me to be adulterated? And so this evening, we are continuing our series entitled Brave. And, you know, in a world that serves us lust at almost every street corner, we at SOAR want to strive to live an upside-down, inside-out lifestyle. We have been following the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus makes a couple of radical points, okay? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 28, it's going to come up on the screen, so I'm going to request you to help me read it. Are you ready? Okay, that's five of you. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. You know the next commandment pretty well, too. Do not go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they are also corrupt. Let's not pretend this is easier than it really is. If you want to live a morally pure life, here's what you have to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped on a moral trash pile. And you have to chop off your right hand the moment you notice it raise threateningly. Better a bloody stump than your entire being discarded for good in the dump. Wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? How many of you, go to the gym? You work out in some way, okay? I have a question for you sometime later. But the question is this: how do we deal with the problem of the fridge door and the chocolate cake? How do we respond? And Jesus, in teaching this, he says these things. The first thing he says is be responsible. This is the first suggestion he says. Be responsible. That's the understanding brave people are supposed to have towards sex. The truth is, in our world, sex has been taken for granted. Everyone desires the pleasure that comes with it, and that is exactly what is marketed. But what people don't realize is there is a responsibility that is often neglected. No one wants to take a responsibility for their actions. And you know, if a survey is done, we will find that the ratio of crime, you know, the crime that happens across the world stems from families where there are broken relationships or there is fatherlessness in the home. And I'm not trying to stereotype a particular category of people, but the statistics are true. It is true. And if you argue that you are responsible enough to have sex, what you are saying is you are ready to bear the consequences that come along with your actions. And I know what you're saying. Man, that's tough. And that exactly is my point. It is tough because sex in the right context is meant to be a gift to be enjoyed to the full. It's not tough in the right context. The world tells you love and sex go together. Isn't that so true? The world tells you love and sex go together. If you love me, you know, sex is the next step. But the truth is, sex also goes together with a long-term commitment, and that's marriage. Sex outside marriage is dangerous. And it is in the context of marriage that sex brings an unbreakable personal unity. Without such a commitment, sex is cheapened. And I want to show you something this evening. How many of us know what this is? What is this? There's no magic trick. I'm not going to do any magic. It's pretty simple. I need someone to help me. Can someone come? I need a hand here. Somebody. Don't worry. I'm not going to do anything to you. You're going to be safe. You'll return back just the way you came. Somebody come really fast. Akash, come. Put your hands together for Akash. Okay. So, in the context of marriage, when a couple have sex, it's like this duct tape. Okay, I want you to tear a piece off, a long piece. Yeah, bigger piece. Okay. This is right over there. Okay. And I just want to explain to you that this piece of sellotape represents the emotional bond that is established when a married couple have sex. Okay, and so I want you to do this, Akash. I want you to stick it on this chair. And there's a deep emotional bond that kind of develops between a husband and a wife, right? There's a deep emotional bond that keeps them together. And this helps them to go through many different challenges, many different problems. Their hearts are also close together. Sex, in fact, has been called the super glue of the heart. But you know, sex outside the boundaries of marriage is dangerous. Why? Not because you are, not because of any other reason, but the thing with sex is it comes along with an emotional bond, whether you like it or not. Okay? And this is exactly what happens when there is no commitment to hold, this relationship together. It's extremely dangerous. I'll tell you why. So let's say I'm about 16 years old. Okay? And I choose to ignore God's plan for sex and decide that since my girlfriend and I are in love, we are a serious couple, and so we get to violate God's plan and we'll have sex. And so each time we do that, we deepened this emotional bond. There's a deepening that happens. Things are going really well. Our hearts are really close, just like this duct tape. And then she starts to get on my nerves. So, you know what we do? We break up. So we break up. And when we break up, what happens is there's heartache, there's pain, and there's, an emotional bond that is shattered. And this is really painful. I know I'm not the only one talking about this. You're probably sitting there. You have experienced it. However, when I get to college, in my second year, I get to meet this really gorgeous girl. We get to talking. We begin hanging out. Our conversations become longer. And then what happens is we have sex again. Okay. And so with that, there is another deepened emotional bond that is established. But then I realize this girl has been cheating on me. And so we break up again. Okay? And then I'm so depressed. I get invited to one of my friend's birthday parties. And while I'm there, just sitting by myself, there's another girl I see. And you know what? In the mood of the way things are going, we have sex again. And what's happening is, you know, that there is a strong bonding. I feel like she's the right one. I feel like that we want to do life together. And so we go ahead and take the decision to have sex. This continues for some time till I realize that she's shifting out of the city. She's leaving and going to another place. And so on that last night, we break off. Okay? And I'm left broken. But, you know, a couple of years later, things have changed in my life. And I finally meet this girl who I want to marry, who I want to spend the rest of my life with. And on that first marriage night, when I want to commit myself to this person, we have sex. But you know, there's one problem with it. There's one problem with this. Do you think it will stick? Do you think it will stick? No, right? Do you know why? Because it's not only been used, it's been abused. And that's exactly what happens when we violate God's plan for sex for our lives. That's how dangerous it can get. And seated here, I just want to tell you something, dear friends. Be very honest with each one of you. God desires for each one of you to have more than just this. For you to have more than just this brokenness that you carry along with you. And so Jesus says, be responsible. Be responsible. Be responsible with your actions. Be responsible with your decisions. Be responsible before you take that rash decision. Because this is something that you want to save for the person that you're going to spend your life with. You don't just want it to be something that you lose every now and then. And so Jesus says, be responsible. The second thing he says, thanks, Akash. Let's put our hands together for Akash this evening. The second thing that Jesus suggests, since we realize the responsibility that comes with sex, we have to be ruthless so that you and I don't fall prey to lust, so that you and I don't succumb to lust. In Matthew 5, 29 to 30, he says, if any of you want to live a morally pure life, here's what you have to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful gaze. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped on a moral pile. And you have to chop off your right hand the moment you notice it raised threateningly. Better a bloody stump than your entire being discarded for good in the dump. What, Jesus? Really? And so here's the question. Some of us are aware of body carving, right? Can you just imagine how the shape of a body of a person that is morally pure would look like? But you know, that's not the point. What Jesus is saying is, we are not to flirt around with sin, but to deal drastically with it. We are not to flirt around with sin, but to deal drastically with it. And when seated right here, you examine your heart and you find that you are vulnerable and weak when it comes to this area you're struggling with, be ruthless when it comes to your choices. Do things that will keep you out of being found in places where you're going to succumb to your weakness. Then Jesus goes on to talk about looking. What he says is, you know, gouge out the right eye. In some places it says that, you know, Jesus did not forbid looking, but he forbid looking lustfully. So you may ask, what's the difference between looking and looking lustfully? The difference is about a couple of seconds. And just like the song so beautifully said it, it's about the second glance. It's about the second glance when you give into the lust of just looking once again. And the truth is, adultery just doesn't happen at a physical level. It starts in the mind. The thoughts themselves may not be sinful, but the entertaining of them is. We have to exercise self-control with our hands and our feet. And what that really means is we have to go all in to make sure that our self-control is at its best. And we must realize giving into temptation may be something that started with just a simple thought. You see, the eating of keki started with the opening of the fridge door. And if we don't do ruthless things, we are not being responsible enough. We have to be responsible. We have to be ruthless. And the third thing that Jesus teaches us to remember as we deal with the fridge door and the chocolate cake problem is that we are called to be radical role models. We are called to be radical role models. And at this time, I'm going to request the worship team to come back up. And so in the 21st century, in understanding sex, Jesus says we are to be examples for everyone else to follow. Matthew 5, 13 and 14 says, "You are the salt and the light of the earth." So no matter which direction society moves in, we are to move in the direction Jesus moves. Let me just tell you a little bit about this situation. When Jesus is making this point about cutting off your hand and taking out your eye, he was doing it in the midst of a group of people who were trying to limit the seventh commandment, and that is do not commit adultery, to just the physical act of adultery. But Jesus takes it a step deeper and he says that this command not just applies to the physical act, but to the heart and to the mind as well. So Jesus is pushing us to take a radical stand and allow ourselves to be moved more by what affects the heart and the mind and the spirit than by what just affects the physical. And Jesus commands us to be radical in our stand. Not just that, he asks us to be role models. He asks us to be radical role models. Radical role models who will live an inside out, upside down lifestyle when it comes to the area of self-control. Who will not be consumed by lust but will stand as examples for those who are struggling. Who will live as radical role models as we live by the Spirit. Even as the musicians just play at this time, I just want all of us to stand up in our places. I understand that this may be something that is really sensitive. This may be something that is really deep and personal to you. But you know what? If you are here and you're saying, you know, my challenge is, I really want to live in the purity that you're talking about. I want to live clean. But each time, you know, when I see Keki, I feel Keki's talking back to me. And I really can't let go. I really can't hold on, you know, and I just feel like letting go. I just feel like giving in. But you know, that's the thing about God. He doesn't leave us alone. He gives us the ability to face whatever comes our way. And so, the scripture passage is going to come up on the screen, Galatians 5:16. And I want you to make this your prayer this evening. Let's read it together. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, that you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, that you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And you know, this evening you're here. I don't know what the story of the fridge door and the chocolate cake means to you. But I just want to let you know this one thing that Rob Bell said. You are not alone, whatever you struggle with. Whatever you have questions about, you are not alone. It doesn't matter how dark it is or how much shame or weakness or regret it involves. You are not alone. We have cravings and desires and urges and temptations that can easily consume us and make us feel helpless in their presence. But in the midst of that, some of the most comforting words in the universe are, me too. Me too. That moment that you find out that your struggle is also the same as someone else's struggle. That you're not alone and the others have been down the same road. It's quite an assurance this evening. We just want you to close your eyes at this point of time. And we want you to know, because of the cross and what Jesus has done, it's never too late to start again. It's never too late to receive forgiveness. It's never too late to speak up against that struggle you're having. I don't know what the keiki is in your life. But the first point starts by recognizing what it is. Ignoring isn't really going to help. You can stand here all macho and all bold and beautiful and say, this is not for me, I'm strong enough. But you alone know, when you go back from here and you're lying down on your bed and you're struggling with those thoughts, you're struggling with those actions, you're struggling with things that you cannot talk to anyone about because you're more concerned about how they're going to think about you. And you're scared because you feel you're going to be judged. You feel things aren't going to change. Well, I want to give you a chance this evening. I want to tell you, you can experience a difference. You can experience change. And this is how we are going to do it, even as the music plays. This is your personal moment. This is your personal moment. You received a piece of paper when you stepped into this place. And what I want you to do, I recognize that it can be something that is very personal to you. It's probably thoughts you've been holding on to for a very, very long time. And I don't want to rush this because I know God wants to work in your lives. He wants to set you free from the guilt that you have been carrying. He wants to set you free from the pain that you have been carrying. He wants to set you free this evening. And so I want you to take that paper and I want you to write on it, what is the struggle that you are facing? Who is the keiki in your life? Who is, or what is the struggle or the challenge you're facing? We have a couple of pencils if you need them. If you don't, I just want you to take a minute, even as the music plays, to just write that down in that piece of paper. Okay? If you want to take time to sit down, go ahead and do that. But I want to request you not to look around, not to talk around. You may be disturbing someone. So just take time to write down. To write down in that paper, write down what your struggle is.
Thanks again for tuning in for another message from Soul Revolution. You can do us a huge favor by rating, reviewing, and sharing this message with your friends. We would love to hear from you on how this message has touched your life. Feel free to message us on Facebook. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you have a great week ahead.